League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. And we've got quite a few bits to get into this morning. Ahmad returns, Maynou returns, the latest on Sancho, Amorim, frustration on two key transfers he doesn't expect to get, but he did expect when he came into the club, and a lot more as well. It's good to be back. And I can say a lot of people have been saying you've not been around a lot, Mark. I still have done 90% of the shows over the last week, but I've been in Dublin for a couple of days. I was in London last night at the Baller League, but you've got me for the rest of the week. So I'm not planning on going anywhere for the next few days. So I'm back. But more importantly, it looks like Ahmad is back as well, posting cryptic Instagram posts yesterday with egg timers. Last night, should I say. Look, the latest on Ahmad came in from Amorim a couple of weeks ago, where he said he expects him to be back before the end of the season. We are expecting Ahmad to be back way before the end of the season now. Even positivity around him being back late April, which would be huge for Manchester United, considering late April could be a semi-final tie in the Europa League, but also would give us all of May as well. Not expected to be involved for the games against Lyon. They're coming up thick and fast. In fact, I think we play Lyon 2 weeks, first leg on Thursday. Obviously, it's a week today that we play Nottingham Forest. Then we play Man City. And then the following Thursday, we're playing Lyon. So that is probably going to come around a little bit too quickly for Ahmad. But the fact that we could have him before the end of the season is a huge, huge boost, and certainly one that we need. So, and I think it's, look, people say Ahmad returns, this, that, and the other. How important do you think Ahmad is? Because I think sometimes we get news and we go, oh, you know, Ahmad's going to be back. Alistair Robertson, welcome to the Members Club. I completely missed that. Thank you very much. But how important do you think the return of Ahmad will be? We'll read some of your comments about that in a little bit as well. Let the lad recover properly. This is M1 K3. I don't think there's any indication that he's being rushed back. I know that we sometimes do have concerns around Man United's fitness department, and they're valid concerns, but I don't think that's the case. I think he's on the road to recovery legitimately. Martin Saunders says, I hope Ahmad is back for Athletic. We need him. Yeah, I want to talk about Amorim because I know this. I think it was a week ago I spoke to you about the Onana story, and I can recap you on that, but this source is very, very good. I am going to say it. I did want to find a couple of more things out first, but I am going to say it because I'm 75% there anyway. He has frustrations at the moment around transfers at Manchester United. These are not frustrations that are going to lead to him walking or, you know, leaving the job or anything like that. But what has certainly happened at Manchester United, and this is coming in from good sources, because as we know, around Manchester United at the moment, there are a lot of people who are very unhappy. There's a lot of people been sacked, and there's a lot of people who are very unhappy. Amorim sort of hinted at it. I forget what interview it was. I actually think it was, I think it was the question Beth asked in the Europa League, actually, wasn't it, about the situation at United from when he came in. So effectively, Amorim was expecting Kenda and Gyökeres this summer. That is basically the story. He was expecting Kenda and Gyökeres this summer when he signed for Man United in November. Now, he ain't never going to sit in an interview and admit that, but that is basically what's coming out, is that he expected Man United to sign Kenda and Gyökeres this summer based on the fact that he sees those two players as fundamental players of part of teams he wants to build. They are players that are his players at Sporting, and they are players that he expected to come to Manchester United based upon conversations he had with the football club when deciding to take the Man United job. And this would be similar to things like Jose Mourinho when he went to clubs and took players that he'd worked with before. Ten Hag obviously brought players in from Ajax. He expected these players to be Man United players this summer based on conversations he had to take the job, and also based on the fact that he'd said to Sporting, respect, not going to go anywhere near your players in January, but obviously the summer is the summer. And these are two players that massively admire Amorim. So we're in this position now where Amorim is sort of like going, well, Kenda's going to Chelsea and it doesn't look like we're getting Jacare's either. So he's walked into a football club in a scenario where, which is now very, very different. And he's alluded to that a couple of times as well. There is frustration there, and it is something that, thank you everybody who watched my video yesterday in the afternoon, sort of having a bit of a rant about the transfer situation, because a lot of it sort of feeds into this. It's the moving of the goalposts that constantly happens at Manchester United, and we don't actually consider the impact that has on the manager. I think it's hugely significant that you're expecting Jokeres and you're not going to get him. Kenda, I sort of think, well, look, Dorgu, Garnacho, Mainoo, young player, there's plenty more fish in the sea, potentially. But like Ferruzzi said, have Ineos double-crossed him, basically? I think double-cross is a strong word, because I think in football management, you expect disappointment. You know, you expect budgets to be such and such, and then they go, well, we wanted that budget, but we can't do this because this, that, and the other. I think Ineos have laid it on very thickly on Amorim that, look, you know, the problem is we expected things to be, you know, it's your fault at the end of the day, because we thought you might definitely get us in the Champions League, and, you know, now you might get us in the Champions League, and therefore we can't spend that sort of money, and we've got to sell to buy. You know, you want to get rid of these players, so, you know, we do as well. So I think that Sir Jim and Ineos and everybody else involved would be sort of pushing it towards Amorim a little bit by going, well, look, you know, these things are going to, no one said it was going to be easy, you know, it will be good in the future. But I think it's a really important consideration to go, if Amorim was coming in November expecting Kenda and Jokeres, and now he's not getting either, in the space of 5 months, we've moved the goalposts significantly. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. What is the transfer strategy at Manchester United? Because Jokeres to Jonathan David, that's not right. Like, they're different players with different profiles, and that's if you get Jonathan David. So I think it's really important. And I think it's just making a manager's job that's difficult even more difficult. But yeah, I mean, look, take it to the bank. Amorim was expecting Jokeres and Kenda. Now, look, maybe his expectations were a little bit too much, but that's what he was expecting this summer. What he's going to get, very, very different. And, you know, it's frustrating when you are looking at everybody else who are so far ahead of you and you're not getting those players. I think if we had Jokeres and Rasmus and Xerxes and Obi Martin, we'd be, not Obi Martin, Obi. We would have a very good strike force. But obviously, you know, this is the thing. Some people want to have the discussion, some people don't. I think we're heading towards a very confusing summer transfer window at the moment. Going back to Ahmad, a few people saying he's absolutely fundamental. We need him back for the Atletico game. Yeah, Ahmad returning, expected to be back towards the end of the month. Certainly not for the Lyon game. My two pennies worth, for what it's worth, on Ahmad is that this is a player that gives us, well, look, Ahmad would have been player of the year if you haven't got injured. Discuss. And I think I'm correct about that. I mean, player of the year at the moment seems like it's going to be Bruno, because he's turned up for the last few weeks. I don't think across the whole season Bruno's been that good. I just think we're in a hype bubble at the moment, and Bruno is doing really, really well and he deserves all the praise. But it was only 6 weeks ago where we were talking, and if I'd have ran a poll, 90% of you would have sold Bruno, and 99% of you couldn't understand why Man United gave him a pay rise last summer when he didn't have a good season. So this is the way football works. It's never... I mean, I put a tweet out the other day saying that if you watch football from 20 years ago, it's better. And obviously you get the modern hipsters who can't deal with that, because their TikToks are going to go out of date if they if people realise that football used to be played better than it is now.
but recency bias will always, you know, try and drown relevancy. And Ahmad probably still is player of the year. De Ligt, Mazraoui, I think they've had good seasons. Bruno's doing well at the moment. But I'm talking about Ahmad. This is the significance of the player coming back. Up until the injury, probably our best player this season. So him coming back at the end of April or whatever it's going to be, it's not lost on me. He's such a important player for Manchester United. And I think Garnacho's done reasonably well. Xerxes done reasonably well. But Ahmad can also play right wing back. He can also play in behind the striker. And I look at the bench sometimes at the moment and I go, if Garnacho or Xerxes have a bad game, we're using Eriksen. And again, like Ahmad probably benches Xerxes or Garnacho anyway, but then you've got a better bench. So I think this is really, 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 really positive news for Manchester United. But I would throw in Maguire and Mainoo returning as well. They're going to strengthen the bench as well. And they're going to create competition for places as well. And they're going to give us a fresh impetus at a very, very important time. I think if you don't get Mainoo back and you don't get Ahmad back and we come back after the international break and we pick up another couple of injuries, which are bound to happen, a very depleted squad becomes a very tired and depleted squad. So I think having somebody back like this is really, really important. And as I said, our best player before he got injured. Patrick Lynch says, the transfer situation makes me wonder what was promised to Amorim to convince him to come in November rather than his preferred time of the summer. Ineos must have given him some incentive, but what? Look, I know that Amorim has been left. Look, it's well known. It's well known. I think even some people have reported it, but it's well known from people within the club that Amorim was shocked by Kenda going to Chelsea. I think last week, was it Laurie Whitwell or David Ornstein said that Man United were made aware of the Chelsea move and decided not to go in on it. So Amorim was informed, but he was shocked. The reason Man United didn't get into any response to Sporting about Chelsea and Kenda was because they knew they'd already lost. Man United had put quite a lot of work in January around Kenda. He'd basically shown his openness to come to Manchester United and Amorim expected him to come to Manchester United. Chelsea swooped in, as they have done many times before, and they secured the deal. Man United were made aware of it by Sporting, but they didn't respond to it. And I think, honestly, I'm not going to moan about Man United not responding to that deal because Chelsea would have responded again. Like, if we'd have come in with 46 million euros, they'd have gone in with 48. So, and also, they had a better offer on the table for Sporting. So I don't think United were wrong not to go in, but I think what shocked Amorim was how Man United dropped the ball on a deal they owned. And again, slow negotiations, playing a little bit of hardball, you know, you leave yourself open to clubs that are more proficient and more effective at getting deals done. And there will be alternatives, and there are alternatives that Manchester United are looking at. But also, United have tried to spin it that they're not actually even looking for a right wing back. They might look at one, but they're not actually looking at one. They've done the typical thing, which I just don't like in life anyway. Man United have fucked up. And instead of owning it and moving on to another target, they've sort of gone, well, you know, we might not even be interested in that position anyway, to be honest, because they spend too much time covering off PR than actually focusing on, yeah, we're not very good at what we do. I think sometimes a bit of honesty would be useful, but the Gyökeres one is very different. I mean, Amorim sees him as the guy to bring to the Premier League and score goals, as do Arsenal, Chelsea and everybody else. You know, Amorim's not got the secret sauce on Gyökeres. Like, lots of people feel that if he comes into the Premier League, he's going to score a lot of goals. What Amorim feels about Gyökeres is that this is the player that he turned from Coventry into Sporting into one of Europe's best strikers, and he wants him up front for Man United because he knows all about him and he knows that he can fit the system straight away. But Man United are not offering up the funds to do that deal at the moment. So, look, I suppose the simplest way of saying it is Amorim wanted Gyökeres and Kenda and United aren't delivering them. Discuss that. That's the reality. He wanted those two players as high priority signings. United aren't going to deliver either. And we're back in that scenario of Man United recruiting managers with a load of hype and then not delivering plan A, B, or sometimes C. And that's problematic when you're trying to make ground up on people as well. Patrick, thank you very much. Do you think Amrim can do what he wants, says Jake? I don't think any manager can do what they want, Manchester United, mate. I think you've got to live by what it is that Man United offer up. Yechi, hope you're doing well. Been a while. How are you? Just been watching games and not taking any other United content. Thought would stop by today. Mate, hope you're doing really well. Thank you. It's been a very, you know what, on a personal level, been a very, very interesting international break. Normally, it's a time to get into, I mean, I'm looking forward to 8 o'clock tonight because the international break for me is 8 o'clock shows with you lot. I mean, we'll still do the 10 o'clock and the 2 o'clock, but I just like the 8 o'clock. We'll get a few good debates going tonight, and I'm looking forward to that for the rest of the week. But Dublin last week was amazing. You can check that out on the channel. And then I was in London last night doing the Baller League, which was just a good bit of fun, really. Interesting thing about that is all these teams have got managers. Really interesting chat with Jens Lehmann. John Terry came in and had a chat. And I've got to say, and I said it on the thing as well, first time I've ever met John Terry, and honestly, probably one of the best footballers I've ever met. And I did say it to him. I said, look, Chelsea, and I did drop a little bit of a joke because, you probably saw it, but basically what happened is these managers, they're allowed to throw in a white flag to contest a decision. So he threw his white flag in when he was managing a game and nobody really understood what it was about. Anyway, when he came in, I said, no one really understood it, John, when you threw the white flag in. I thought you were contesting your slip in 2008, but he took it quite well. But I did say to him, look, you know what?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Whatever about whatever, and there's a lot of stuff around John Terry, as we know, my two best centre-backs in the Premier League era are Vidic and Terry. And they're very similar centre-backs. They're not like Rio and Van Dijk. They're different types of centre-backs, or Saliba. You know, Rio, Van Dijk, a little bit more pace to their game, a little bit more elegant on the ball. But for me, Vidic and Terry, they're the sort of centre-backs I want. Absolute leaders. And it's a little bit like Drogba at Chelsea. Couldn't stand him as a Chelsea player, but bloody hell would I love a centre forward like him. I mean, he was just he was a fantastic centre forward. Tony Adams was a good one as well. But yeah, Vidic and Terry for me are probably my two favourite centre backs in Premier League history because they just play the game the way I want to win it. Win every ball, leave the team organised, strong tackle. I mean, remember that Vidic tackle at Spurs with the high camera where he gets the ball and nearly puts the Spurs player into, you know, South London. Yeah, loved it. But nice guy, says Stephen. Don't want to renew Sancho after our trial, think, says Vivek. Let's talk about Jadon Sancho. I've got a few stuff to get into this morning. But somebody just said, what was the Inanna stuff about Amrim before you move on? Look, mate, Amrim's not leaking information. Let me make it very clear. Amrim's not leaking information, but people talk and people know stuff at Man United. It's not the British government and that leaks. It's not the US government and that leaks. You know, whatever, you know, governmental departments leak and that's very important. This is football. Football leaks. And effectively, Amrim is getting on with the job and he wants to do well and he's determined to do well. But yeah, the goalposts have been moved in relation to what he wants to happen. We've mentioned Jokeres and Kenda there. There is a huge frustration. He expected those players to be coming to Manchester United. He certainly would have expected at least one of them, and he's not going to get neither as things stand, which is shocking. But the Anana thing is what I said to you last week. Similar source, if not the same. Amrin wants Anana gone and wants his own guy. And as you've seen in the week since we broke that, lots of people are talking about it now. But he wants Anana gone because he's a manager, like every other manager. And when you take a team over, whether it's a pub team or a Premier League team, there are players in there that you appreciate why the previous manager brought them, but they're not your guy. And that's the thing with Anana. He wants his own goalkeeper. I stuck up for Arteta when he did it. I remember being on the Ben Foster football fill-in show with Watto, ex-England goalkeeping coach, and obviously played for Barnsley. Ben Foster, Wrexham, Man United, West Brom, Birmingham. They both were not happy that Arteta was getting rid of Ramsdale. And I think that was a bit of British bias because they know Ramsdale and, you know, he's a good lad and everything like that. I don't watch football like that. I don't do the whole mate thing. You know, I like Rasmus. I like Garnacho. But honestly, if Jokeres comes in, then Rasmus has got to work and learn and share the load. That's the way it's going to work. When I saw Arteta replace Ramsdale for Raya, I knew Raya at Brentford was better than Ramsdale anyway. I knew that because I watched the game like you do. I knew it. But I also knew why Arteta was doing it, because Ramsdale is a decent goalkeeper, but he ain't a Premier League winning goalkeeper, and he ain't better than David Raya. And David Raya plays out from the back, and Arsenal and Arteta have never really had any praise for that. They just got criticism because they were getting rid of the English goalkeeper. And it was absolutely spot on. And I think Amrin looks at Anana the same. And I think he looks at other players the same. He might be looking at Rasmus the same. He might be looking at Garnacho the same. He might be looking at Casemiro the same. He might have looked at Rashford the same. I think he's looking at people and going, I haven't got a problem with you. You can be my backup. You can stay at the club, but I need something better. And I think with Anana, That's what we're looking at there, which is what was told last week. Rob says even a blind man can see Anana as a liability. You know what? You know my big issue with Anana. I've played the game. I saw it with and Harry Maguire, funnily enough, exposed it. A couple of weeks ago, comes for a cross or something, and Maguire just has got no confidence in him at all, and is shaking his head. And that's the problem when your defense hasn't got confidence in you. That's a big issue. Obviously, I don't think the fans have huge confidence in him, but the defence doesn't have confidence in him. And that is why it needs to change, because I don't think the manager does either. But if we can get him out to Saudi, I think that would work really well for everybody, because he's not a bad goalkeeper. Definitely not a bad goalkeeper. I didn't dream what happened in the Champions League final for Inter. He's a very good ball-playing goalkeeper, but it's just not working out, is it? Yechi says, has anything changed, Mark, or is it all the same? Saw the stadium, did not hate it. Personally wanted Old Trafford, but not bad. Also saw some improvement on the pitch. We are winning Europe. I'm going with the winning Europe thing, Yechi. I was going to mention that at 8 o'clock tonight, and we'll probably delve in it more as one of the topics. But I said it in January. I've been clipped up. I've seen people have done it, so I'm sticking with it. Scott B says, would you take Pogba on a short-term deal to play in the Premier League so we could rest midfielders for Europe? Scott, if it was Paul Pogba on a free transfer, I get what you're saying, but he's going to want a lot of money because Paul Pogba wants money, like most players. Therefore, why not just use one of the young players? Mainu's coming back, Agate's fit, Casemiro's fit, Collier's fit, Eriksen's fit, Bruno's fit. We've got enough to cover off the Premier League and keep everybody fit. I wouldn't bring Paul Pogba back. I think it could be... I think it could be too much of an issue to do that. There we go. Hold on a minute. Just a bit of breaking news coming out of Germany that Bild are basically saying that Jadon Sancho is already angling for a move to Germany. I've got to say, I know it was covered by Terry fantastically well yesterday and Morge yesterday morning, but I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. I absolutely, without talking about you know, what we've spoken about. I don't think Sir Jim Ratcliffe is doing a very good job. Here we go. Jadon Sancho has submitted a transfer request to his management to move to Dortmund again. That's coming in from Bild in Germany. Let me start by saying that I am absolutely fed up of the spin that Man United put out there to protect themselves. I was talking to you this morning about the Kenda deal, whereby we were working on that deal. Amrin wanted that player. We were working on that deal from very, very, very good sources. Even David Ornstein put it out in January. We were working on the Kenda deal. They can't pretend that they weren't. They were. He was a high priority for Amrin. We were working on that deal. In fact, when the January transfer window closed and it was a mess because we didn't do anything, they put that out the day after going, we're working on Kenda for the summer. So they spun this fan base on February the 2nd when the transfer window had closed by saying, we're talking about Kenda. And David Ornstein spoke about it. And then a few weeks later, he's going to Chelsea. So we got spun anyway. Oh, don't worry, we didn't do anything good in the January transfer window because we're cooking. We're cooking for the summer with Kenda. No, you're not. He's going to Chelsea. So there are so many examples of Manchester United Football Club spinning you around from the truth. But I think it's absolutely appalling what happened with Jadon Sancho and Man United. Before we talk about Sancho, I don't think these sort of things get discussed enough. You know, we're not just a community. Sometimes you're fighting against crap journalism because people don't want to talk about it. Like the video we did about the regeneration project and the land, for me, I'm biased, but I think that's one of the best bit of journalism I've seen this season around Man United because no one's talking about that sort of stuff. And it's really important. The thing I was talking about on Sunday night about the 99 questions from the FC Manchester founder, brilliant questions. Those journalists could go and take some of those. They won't fucking ask them. So we get spun around by client journalism and, you know, turned away from the truth. And I haven't got my sort of tinfoil hat on here. I'm coming to a point. But we were told, correct me if I'm wrong, we were told when Jadon Sancho signed for Chelsea in the summer, we were told, mass reporting of it by numerous journalists fed by the club, that Jadon Sancho had joined Chelsea on a £25 million obligation to buy deal. And the only way he would come back is if Chelsea finished below 14th in the league. And we were fed that for 8 months. 8 months we've been fed that story. And then we start to get a little trickle that Sancho, Chelsea might not want him and they might want to send him back. And then we find out 2 days ago that Chelsea can pay us £5 million and give him back. So why was this not out there 8 months ago? Why is it as fan? And look, people can say it's quite a minor thing, Mark, and I understand that, but it's the drip effect of this dictatorship that really, really grinds you down because it's yet another example of basically being lied to or, more accurately, having the truth concealed. We should have been told that at the start of the season, that it's not a £25 million obligation to buy. There is a release clause there where they can pay us £5 million to give him back. Because I'm telling you now, if I'm Chelsea, £25 million for Sancho or £5 million to give him back, I'm sat there with my financial advisor going, what's the best way for us to make money out of this? If we pay £25 million to Man United for Sancho, but then we sell him to Dortmund for 20, that's a 5 million loss. Should we just pay the 5 million? So I think this is really something that maybe it's the constant, you know, shoveling of crap that we get on top of our heads from this ownership, but that's disgusting. Rayner says it's a bit dramatic. I don't think it's dramatic, mate. I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting that we were sold something and we were lied to. Like, I've done videos where I've said it's an obligation to buy. As long as Chelsea finish in the top half, they've got to pay us 25 million quid. And then we get told a few days ago, 2 days ago, that actually they can send him back for five. Now, apparently they're not going to do that. But it's still a concern that I don't know that I believe United on anything anymore. I really don't, because I think you get told something and then you get told something else 8 months later. So I look, that really did annoy me when I saw that came out, because personally, if I was Chelsea and you don't want Sancho, 5 million to give him back to Man United, do it. And you know, that 5 million, that wouldn't even cover 6 months of his wages. He's on 300 grand a week, £1.2 million a month. 4 months, that's 5 million. So it's not great for us, is it? It really isn't. And he's still got a year left on his contract at 300 grand a week. So it's not like we're going to be able to sell him very easily. So hopefully he's going to still stay at Chelsea. But I'm a little bit concerned, because I saw the update yesterday that Chelsea aren't planning on sending him back. Mark my words, I still think he might be coming back. Because if you're Chelsea and you're trying to get top four, would you in March say, yeah, we're sending him back at the end of the season? You want that player to try and do something for you in the last few weeks. So you're going to put it out there that you're not intending to send him back. You know, it's like a manager that you know you're sacking in the summer, but you need them to get you some results. No, we're backing him. We're backing him. Well, no, we're not in talks with... I know I'm sat here having dinner with this free agent manager, but we're just friends. I'm not sacking our manager. We're just friends. We're just catching up. We haven't seen each other since Christmas. I think that this Sancho staying at Chelsea story just sort of strikes me as, of course we're not getting rid of him. We've got really important games to play. He's a key part of our team that's got a few injuries. We're not sending him anywhere. The season's over. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. So, yeah, I think that that might be sort of, you know, where we're heading with that. But he said it. Bottom line, under Sir Jim, under this ownership, another shit transfer. I said it at the time. There's a clip of me. Don't send him to a rival. We're not sending him to a rival. Don't send him to a rival. I thought that was very dangerous, sending Sancho to Chelsea, because I saw Chelsea as a rival. Fortunately for us, well, unfortunately for us, we're not even Chelsea's rival, and he hasn't done that well. But on top of that, we sent him to a rival who can send him back for 5 million. Crap deal. Absolutely crap. Really crap deal. Is anyone surprised we're not getting targets when this is a clear front for the Glazers? Best in class, my arse, Glenios out, says Anders. Ketz says, look, I've thrown that challenge out. So Jim Radcliffe's done a few interviews. We've seen the 99 questions. If Sir Jim Radcliffe wants to dispute this, the door is always open for a very professional interview. Sir Jim Radcliffe, I think you may as well call yourself Pinocchio. I think you tell lies, and I think you are a puppet. And I think the people you are telling lies for and a puppet for are the Glazers, who really own this football club, and you are just a front. I genuinely think Joel Glazer's still running things on a daily basis. I don't think they're out there not doing anything. It completely contradicts the last 10 years of stories of how hands-on Joel Glazer has been. And as we know, the regeneration project was an idea back in 2018, for which you are clearly a front. If you want to dispute that and have a proper conversation with somebody that isn't part of your regeneration project, let's have the chat. That's really what a current Man United owner should be doing, instead of, you know, spin, and telling us how great the Glazers are. I mean, you did an interview a couple of weeks ago with The Times. 50% of it was telling us how great the Glazers are. You know, we could have actually had some decent questions about funding and transfers and, you know, the future, the state of the football club. Let me just get rid of you. Yes, we can sell Sancho plus the 5 million, but it's the incompetence how things are done by Ineos. The summer is going to be very long, says John. I mean, I'm not here to talk about the summer transfer window in any depth, because I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. But I will say this. I think it might have been Patrick who said it a few weeks ago. We're in for a very long summer transfer window in relation to negotiations, because we've got to sell to buy.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And we've already had a summer where we want to sell to buy, which is why we were late on Dalit and Mazraoui, because we had to sell Wan-Bissaka. It's why we were late on Ugarte, and it's why Ugarte wasn't ready for the start of the season, because we had to sell McTominay. You could argue it's going to be worse this season because we've got to sell to buy, and everybody knows we're desperate. Many things in the club, says Ketz, is not functioning well. Breaking everything down at once would be naive, as it could expose these deeper issues. We must take things slowly, or even Amrim's players may struggle. Is anybody surprised we're not getting targets? That was from Anders. Range Rat with a super chat says, did you not see the video where Romano said Kenda chose Chelsea because he did not want to be a wing back? He wanted to be a winger. I don't believe that. Range Rat, and this is the great thing, everybody is entitled to think what they like. The reality of the Kenda deal in a couple of sentences is that Manchester United were in negotiations with him, and Amrim expected to buy him, and the indication from Kenda was that he wanted to come to Manchester United. Chelsea swooped in, did a deal that Sporting liked, and convinced Kenda that it was a deal he wanted to do. Probably around wages, if we're being honest. I doubt Man United were offering the same wages that Chelsea are. You then get a story about it was the project. Well, honestly, it's not me. It's not you, it's me. You know, it's the old breakup line, is it? It's not you, it's me. You know, I just want to try new things. I don't believe that Kenda turned his back on Man United because he was concerned that he was going to be used as a right wing back instead of a right winger. I mean, in an Amrim system, I just don't believe it. I don't believe that. I don't think there is enough differential, to be honest. I'd prefer Frimpong, cheaper and better, says Frank. I like Frimpong. I do like Frimpong, but I question and query whether he actually is a target for Manchester United at the moment, currently. I've not heard anything about that. That doesn't mean it's not, but I think with Frimpong, there has been, I think Frimpong will move this summer, and I think he's likely to come to the Premier League. Liverpool might move for him. With Trent off, that Liverpool might move for him. And also, I think that we've got, let me just get rid of that person as well. He was a target for Man United under Ten Hag. I've never heard Frimpong be a target for Man United since Ten Hag left. So, GC says, I reckon they will sell every brick and blade of grass of Old Trafford back to the fans as collector's items to recoup costs of the new stadium. Thoughts? GC, I'm sure they probably will. Build, I like the sun. No disrespect to you, Mark, says we. Look, mate, whether Jadon Sancho wants to go to Dortmund or not, whether Bild are correct or not, is somewhat immaterial. The question is he coming back to Man United? And the question is, would Dortmund want him back? I think that Jadon Sancho is his own video, in a sense, of which I care not to pursue. But my big frustration is we sent a player to a rival and we actually didn't have an obligation to buy in it like they said they would, because that clearly isn't the case, is it? Just moving things on though, obviously Harry Maguire and Mainoo are back as well. We've also been linked this morning again to Mecha, the talking of Dortmund, we've been linked to Mecha and the midfielder at Dortmund. I saw a lot of this yesterday, and I think this is the sort of classic international break crap, really, where typical normal client journalists not going to get any, wouldn't give them the steam off my piss. But the reality is, I think that what we're basically seeing is the spin, really. I've seen things in the last 24 hours that Man United want to raise like over £100 million in departures to fund transfers. I mean, you know, how many times have we seen that? I mean, we've done it ourselves on this channel. Like, if we sell this player, we sell this player, we raise £100 million. We've got to be better than that. We've got to be better than that as an industry. We've got to be better than that as a fan base. You can't just go, Rashford goes for 40, Sancho goes for 25. You get rid of Casemiro's wages, Eriksen and Lindelof, and there's £100 million. That's not how it works these days. Because that £100 million, even if you raised it, has to pay debt interest, has to pay transfers we already known, might be used for something else. Just because Man United make £100 million doesn't mean it's available for transfers. We know we have the debt interest. We know we have transfers that we already owe. We know that we might want to look. You could raise 100. If you sell your bike, doesn't mean you're spending it on a new bike. You might sell your bike to pay for, you know, a leak in your bathroom. Like, that's what I mean. Like, we can't be so naive anymore as to go, well, if we raise 40 million from Rashford, it's pure profit and we could buy three players with that on a 5-year contract where we pay 10 million each year. And in year one, we'd only pay 30 and we'd have 10 million profit. Yeah, that does work, but we're Manchester United. We have a lot of expenditure. They might sell Rashford and use half of it as put it towards a new stadium fund. You just don't know. So when I start reading about United want to raise loads of money this summer, they hope to raise loads of money this summer so they can use it towards transfers, unless they're going to let us sit in on the financial meeting, I just don't trust that will happen, really. I saw what Rob Dawson said yesterday about Chelsea playing down the possibility that Sancho could return to Man United. As I said, you would do that. If I knew Sancho was going back to Man United in the summer and I was a Chelsea manager, I would play it down because I want him to perform, really. Man United have already... Sky also reporting that Man United have already generated interest in naming rights for the proposed new stadium. Yeah, great. But those naming rights aren't going to be paying for 5, 6, 7 years. And I think that, you know... You know my opinion. I feel that the Gary Neville interview with Sir Jim Ratcliffe was spin, and I feel that the picture of the new stadium was spin. Absolutely. Until they start building foundations, which apparently they can't do because there's a loading freight station, train freight station that needs removing and relocating. When 5 years from when they start doing the first bit of foundation. And I don't see that happening at the moment. Interestingly also, just rounding up some news, Manchester United remain keen on Jarrod Branthwaite. He's expected to further consider his future after being left out of the England squad. That's coming in from Sky. I'd be very surprised if Manchester United are in for Branthwaite. As I've said to you before, I've played the game. We've played the game over the last 10 years. And I think it's quite common for us to continue to get linked to players that we've been linked to in the past. But we may well have been linked to those players in the past because previous managers wanted them. Lee Cape Town says, it begs the question, how much has Ineos not lied to us and how much are they still going to in the future? Remember, once a liar, always one. I think, Lee, if you get in bed with the Glazers, you are an enemy of this football club. Until proven otherwise. I said those strong words 2 years ago. Some people in the early days of Sir Jim wanted to hold it against me. I said at Christmas when Ineos got hold of the club, or Sir Jim got hold of the club, we lost. We didn't get rid of the Glazers. We didn't get rid of the debt. We better hope this works. And, you know, I accept defeat. It's not been good. And I did say before that I think that anybody, any organisation, any individual, British passport or not, nice person or not, anybody who gets into bed with the Glazers has to be poisoned by that ownership. And I think we're seeing that. I think that, you know, the Glazers have survived at Manchester United for 20 years on lies and spin. And even if Sir Jim Ratcliffe wasn't a liar and, you know, was somebody that really wanted to make change, he's not going to be able to do it. He doesn't own the football club. He doesn't even own 40% of the football club. He doesn't own half of the football club. So he will be sunk by the Glazers. I very much doubt Chelsea are offering much more in wages. They have also massively reduced their wage bill, says Chris Orchard. I disagree, Chris. I think Chelsea will be offering a far better package than Man United for Kenda, one way or another. Sagar says, I think Sancho will come back, but won't be announced until United can spin it with some big stadium news or some big signings to mask that news, says Sagar. Too many fans with low IQ and standards, easy to spin, says Julian. Yes, we can sell Sancho plus the 5 million, but it's the incompetence. I've done that from John as well. I think there was another super chat I missed that someone said. If we can get 5 million from Chelsea plus the 25 million from a German club for Sancho, then we're winning, says Sanil. Thank you very much, Sanil. Just before I move on from that, so if probably not been discussed by anybody really, if Sancho comes back, how do you move him on? 1 year left on his contract, $300,000 a week, and we're not going to get £25 million. Thomas Richmond says 90% of us wouldn't have sold Bruno 6 weeks ago, by the way. Thomas, do you want to go back 6 weeks and have a look at the poll? I remember it vividly. Vividly, Thomas. So don't take it personally. You can put yourself in the 10% that wouldn't. But I'm telling you now, I remember the poll. 6 weeks ago, would you sell Bruno in the summer? 90%, yeah. And they were doing it based on, where does he fit in the team? He's 30. We need a rebuild. You know, that's what they were doing it on. Football can change around very, very quickly. I remember saying Matic was a bag of cement. I wouldn't sell him to a builder's yard. And then suddenly he just started playing well again. Anyway, I don't want to go down the Bruno road. I think if Sancho comes back with 1 year left on his contract and $300,000 a week, you're going to struggle. You're going to really struggle. Does anybody, like, seriously, really, how much would we get with Sancho with a year left on his contract, $300,000 a week? I think he'd sacrifice a year of his career. I think he'd run his contract now. I think he'd say, I'm not leaving. Loan me and I'll run the contract down. I think that's what he would do. He'd never sign a new contract, by the way. There are still prats out there that think if Sancho comes back, he's going to put his apron on and start cooking as a number 10 for Amorim. They don't realise he doesn't like Man United, doesn't want to be at Man United, and if he did come back and start cooking, he'd be leaving for free in the summer because he won't sign a new contract. So we wouldn't. I agree with Hiram and Anthony. I think if we got 10 million for Sancho in the summer, we'd be doing well. Which means we've made it. And it's a great point. It's a great point because we've been lied to. We were told we were getting 25 million on an obligation. We'll end up about 10 million down on that because we'll get 5 off Chelsea and 10 from Dortmund and we'll get 15, which is 10 less than 25. You're not going to get £25 million for Jadon Sancho with 1 year left on his contract and $300,000 a week. No way. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. I can see Sancho back in the summer, then loaned again. Jim, I genuinely think that will happen. I think Chelsea are doing PR lesson one. It's March. We might need to use Sancho in the next 2 months to get Champions League football. We're definitely sending him back, but let's just say for now we're not. I think that's what's happening here. Mate, £25 million to keep a player that you clearly don't want or £5 million to send him back. It's a choice. There's no middle ground where you go send him back and you don't spend anything. £5 million to Man United to take Sancho back or £25 million to keep him on a contract. This is probably 3 or 4 years. He's going back. Unless he starts cooking again, he's going back. And we're bloody idiots. What a stupid clause to put in. Yeah, it's an obligation for £25 million unless they finish below 15th. Don't tell them about the £5 million they can give us to give him back. Absolutely crap deal. Ridiculous deal. Stupid. United in for Jude Bellingham. Do you think it's a good signing, says Marriage? If he was called Job... can't think of a name. All the names I could pick. If he was called Job Smith, would you be excited? How much of it is because it's Jude Bellingham's brother? Like, how good is Job Bellingham is the question I would ask. If he's got anywhere near the talent of Jude Bellingham, then he could be a really good signing. But if he's just a decent player with a world-class brother, then I'd be concerned about it. I haven't seen enough of him. Jude Bellingham for me is one of the most complete midfielders I've ever seen. And he's still got loads to go. But look, there was a big difference between Sir Bobby Charlton and Jack Charlton. There was a big difference between Gary Neville and Phil Neville. And there was a big difference between Kasper Schmeichel and Peter Schmeichel. So it doesn't mean he's, you know, going to be as good as Jude Bellingham. But look, the things I hear is I think he will play in the Premier League, but will he play at the very top level? You know, Leon Osman played in the Premier League for Everton. He was a decent midfielder, but you wouldn't have wanted him at Man United. They won't send him back if they want Mainoo, says JSD. And Sujoy says, do you think Sancho's was salty because him and Rashford behaved the way same way off the pitch, but Rashi wasn't punished, but Sancho was? I don't know. I really don't know, mate. I don't know. But I, as I said, I think with the Sancho story, we've not seen the end of it. And I think one of the things that, if we want to be really intelligent, is that one of the things that United really, really need to stop doing, and it's amazing that they did it for so long, is when you buy a player, for God's sake, do your background checks. Like, this is the same as employing somebody. If you've got a business, if you're like HSBC or Deutsche Bank or, you know, Morgan Stanley or whatever, big financial institutions, and you're looking to bring somebody in on a big salary, you don't just go, oh, I've read this report that you did, you know, in the Business Insider for your previous job. Come in. You're going to look at their CV. You're going to interview them. You're going to find out about their personality. You know, you're going to do all the checks needed because you're making a heavy investment in somebody that on paper looks very good, but, you know, you want to find out as much about it as you can. Man United just seem to just not do that. We seem to go, I've seen your YouTube highlights. How much do you want? How much does your agent want? How much does your club want? Yeah, come, welcome to Manchester United. And clearly with Jadon Sancho, there were some issues at Dortmund that we ignored as fans because we're like, oh yeah, Dortmund idiots. We heard about him turning up late for training and all this, that and the other at Dortmund. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, he's just young. Mason Mount, we knew he had injuries before we signed him. Apparently it was borderline on his medical. Still signed him. Never really played since. Eric Bailly, 3 different injuries the season before we bought him. Ended up injury prone. So, yeah. Shah says, talent over personality check. We've got to start looking at the player. Because I look at Liverpool, I look at Arsenal, I look at Man City. And yeah, they've got some very good players. But they've got ridiculously good personalities. I mean, look at City with their Grealish mistake. Like, Grealish stands out as like a sore thumb as a player that doesn't fit Man City because of off-field activities, personality, you know, whatever. Maybe they signed him for that to give their club a little bit of, you know, personality because Grealish brings that, but he doesn't really bring the professionalism, does he? And it was quite an unusual Man City signing. You know, I just need to buy better because the Sancho experiment has been a bloody massive example of it, hasn't it? You know, we've got to buy better in relation to the background checks we do on players. And I think that goes back to what I was talking about at the start. It's really it must be really disappointing for Amorim that he wants Kenda and Jokeres, and he knows they've got the right personalities as well as the talents. And now he's got to find replacements that he hasn't worked with. Key players that he wanted that he's not going to get, that he knows are good enough, but he also knows the personalities are right. And he's at a club where he's got players that have just got bad personalities. It's a problem. Because he's now got to try and find players. It's not just about how good they are. It's about how good they are as personalities. And we've been deprived of 2. Bumhole, thank you very much. Welcome to the Members Club. Ryan, thank you very much as well. Great show this morning. Good to be back. Ahmad's back. I'm back. We're back as a community. Really enjoyed it this morning. And as I say, I know I've been a bit in and out over the international break. But I'm here with you now all the way through for the rest of the week. So lots of stuff planned, 8 o'clock lives, everything. And have a good day. Beth's back at 2 o'clock, actually. She's had a long weekend since Dublin. So it's her first live since Dublin. So welcome her back at 2 o'clock. She was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Mrs. Goldbridge was very impressed. She was in the crowd and she said, you know, Beth is absolutely fantastic at what she does and she never even praises me. So, you know, Beth back at 2, I'm back at 8 o'clock. If anything breaks, obviously we'll react as well. I'm just about to record something for That's Football. Have a good day. Stay safe, everyone. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.